Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
Good evening, it's 5:30. This is Update from Manx Radio, a 30-minute look at the latest news on the Isle of Man, plus background to the news, Manx sport, business, Sea-Watch, travel updates, and tonight the scallop industry gets down to business. Tomorrow, a Castletown commissioner criticises the closure of Lloyds Bank, Manx Scouts launch a UNESCO Biosphere First, and Broadway reopens this weekend. It's true.
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
First of all, the news headlines from Manx Radio. Fastamai, Chris Cave.
Fastamai, the inquest into the death of Ballasalla teenager Katie Robley has been opened and adjourned at Douglas Courthouse. The 19-year-old died in the intensive care unit at Nobles Hospital from injuries sustained in a two-vehicle collision near to the Santon Motel last Friday. A commissioner says the closure of Lloyds Bank in Castletown is doing a disservice to many who use it on a regular basis. It was announced this week the branch will shut next year as fewer customers are using it, with more turning to online banking instead. The DEFA minister says the announcement over catch limits for king scallop fishing wasn't delayed unduly. There was some criticism earlier this week over a lack of news, with the new season opening tomorrow. Geoffrey Boot says the recommendations from the island's scallop management board were supported in full. Drivers will be able to turn right from Douglas Promenade onto Broadway for the first time in decades. It's as the area reopens after 5 weeks of work as part of the capital's refurbishment scheme on Sunday. Further afield, MPs say guests on the Jeremy Kyle show were exploited for entertainment purposes after they were given behind-the-scenes footage from a whistleblower. The broadcaster has been accused of corporate failure of responsibility. It insists people's health is its highest priority. Jeremy Corbyn has officially kicked off Labour's election campaign, insisting the only way to solve Brexit is with a second referendum. Boris Johnson says he'd take the UK out of the EU by the end of January. And in sports, Hearts have sacked manager Craig Levein. He leaves with the club second from bottom in the Scottish Premiership with just one win from 11 matches. Those are your headlines at 5:30. This is Chris Cave, Manx Radio News.
Man Benham Advocates. Call us on 639 350 or visit manbenham.com.
28 minutes to 6 on Update now.
Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
The Met Office from Ronald's Way has issued a strong wind warning in operation for the North Irish Sea for the next 24 hours. On land tonight, persistent rain from dusk and heavier bursts overnight. Overnight minimums 8 Celsius. Watch out for some splash over of waves onto exposed coastal roads and the promenades around high tide, which is 20 to 2 a.m. Gehenya, Friday, rain at first on a moderate to fresh southeasterly, veering southwesterly. It will be drier later, but then heavy rain on the way during the evening, maximum temperatures 14 degrees. Jasan, Saturday, cloudy and showery on a moderate to fresh southwesterly, 11 Celsius top temperature. Sunrise in the morning is at 18 minutes past 7. The next tide, low water, is at 20 to 8. High water, the all-important one tonight, 22 minutes to 2 a.m. And low water for Friday morning is at 8 minutes past 8.
If you have failed double glazing units, Manx Glass and Glazing can help. Call 674-573.
It's Hop Tune Air tonight and a time for youngsters to have fun, but it's also an important evening for the fishing industry on the island with the new scallop king scallop season starting tomorrow. There was some criticism earlier this week regarding the lack of information about catch limits, a point that Tim Glover put to the DEFA Minister, Geoffrey Boot.
It was not necessarily as late as it seems. The scallop board that advises us gave us its advice a couple of weeks ago. Members of the industry were aware of what was going on, but we had to consult out of courtesy in some cases with the other jurisdictions around the Irish Sea with the recommendations, and obviously we communicate that to the industry as soon as we can. There was no question mark over the season starting. I think what people were very interested in is what the total allowable catch would be and what the daily catch limit would be.
You've used your experts' views on that, but I think you've also spoken this time to the fishermen themselves and their own observations and weighed everything up.
Well, it's been a two-way street. Obviously, we take advice from Bangor in terms of the science, but they, in turn, through the department, have spoken to local fishermen, and we've gleaned information from them about stock levels and where they are likely to be, as well as working through the scallop board, which has representatives from other jurisdictions and industry, and is independent of the department. And in fact, the advice they gave to the department and myself, we've endorsed their recommendations.
It's about a 20% reduction on a year ago, and we've heard from the industry that part of that is the market. There isn't the demand for king's scallops there maybe was a year ago, and that's down to Brexit uncertainty.
Well, I think the total allowable catch being reduced is solely down to the stock level assessments. Last year, they didn't catch the total allowable catch throughout the season. Now, there may have been reasons for that. It could have been bad weather, people fishing in other areas or fishing for other species, but they didn't. But undoubtedly, stock levels are still low. So we took the advice of Bangor and the scallop board and reduced the total allowable catch by 20%, which is an agreed formula for doing that. What the market's like and will remain to be seen. We work on stock levels to assess allowable catch rather than market conditions.
And the press release issued by the department detailed areas that are still closed, but with the chickens one, it just said it's been re-evaluated. What does that mean? Is it open? Well, is it closed?
There is an area that is going to be open, hence the redefining of the area that will be closed. The targets area is remaining closed. We know that there are juvenile populations in both of those areas, and we want to preserve those, and then maybe we can move into more spatial management in future years. So it's a sensible conservation measure.
And of course, this will be monitored on an ongoing basis, week by week.
It is. We get the catches in almost real time. But we've undertaken to review the situation with industry through the scallop board in 4 weeks' time. So it would be great if there's more out there than we think. But let's see what happens over the next 4 weeks.
Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
If you were thinking of going to Kirkbraddon's firework display on Saturday, don't. Go on Sunday. Kirkbraddon will be staging the delayed fireworks show on Sunday evening instead of Saturday due to the forecast high winds. Timings remain the same. It's going to be 5:30 to 7:30 at Kirkbraddon. Entry is still free. A commissioner says the closure of Lloyd's Castletown branch is doing a disservice to many of the people who use the bank on a regular basis. The closure was announced this week. The branch will shut next year as fewer customers are using it, more turning to online banking. Colin Leather says the elderly will miss out on the social interaction provided by a local branch and not feel comfortable using a computer to manage their finances. He's bringing the issue to a Castletown Commissioner's board meeting on Monday and will propose a meeting with Lloyd's to express the town's concerns. Mr. Leather explained more to our local democracy reporter, Ewan Gorn.
I was stopped on the street by some residents in Castletown yesterday morning and saying, what are the commissioners going to do about this, etc., etc. We have to go to Douglas to do the banking. They're expecting us to get a bus, expecting us to take the car in, we've got to find a car park, etc., etc. All right, they can use the hole in the wall. They can draw out £500 in one go, but some pensioners will earn considerably more than that, and they like having the pension paid in one lump sum. And when they get home, they divide it up in the things. This is for the rent, this is for electric, this is for gas, this is for food, etc., etc. So the Lloyd's are doing a disservice to the town by moving out of the town.
How are you going to convince them? I mean, I'm assuming that's your intention, how are you going to convince them to listen to you and maybe change their decision? It seems unlikely.
Well, if you don't try, you don't get. Basically, what I would propose to the board is that we have a meeting with some of the management from Lloyd's, and not the management on the Isle of Man, but people in Jersey that have made this decision that don't understand how the island works. This is not Jersey. Isle of Man is totally different than Jersey. We sit down and we have a meeting with them and discuss and listen to what they've got to say in a clear and open mind. And if it still remains that Lloyd's stick with the decision that they're going to close the branch, then yes, we will work with Lloyd's to find a suitable tenant and a suitable use for that building in the centre of the square, which is vital for Castletown, to make sure that a business goes in there that is open 5 days a week that will benefit the town.
You've still got two banks in Castletown, though. Is that not a crumb of comfort?
It is for the time being, but we've now got one bank that has made a decision that it's going to close. How long will it be, for instance, before Barclays makes such a decision? And going way down the line, how long is it going to be before the Isle of Man Bank makes a decision? Because who would have thought the Isle of Man Bank in Onchan would have closed? You wouldn't. But unfortunately, Onchan have lost their Isle of Man Bank.
But doesn't that just reflect the way people are banking these days? Young people using that online facilities?
Of course it reflects the way people are doing, but the banks make considerable profits, and it's not just the Isle of Man that is suffering from bank closures, it's the UK that is suffering from bank closures, where people have to go on a bus and sometimes travel 30 miles to go to a bank. And I think the banks should have a social conscience about just willy-nilly closing the banks and blaming it on the internet. It's not closing the banks and blaming it on the internet, it's about profits.
Do you think banks have a social conscience?
No.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
The Ben McCree departed Heysham at 2:05 this afternoon, expected in around now in Douglas, and heading out at 7:45 this evening for Heysham again. Mananen departed Douglas at 3:06, arriving in Liverpool just about now, 6:20, leaving Liverpool at 7:15, arriving back in the Isle of Man at 10:00 tonight. Of course, the Mananen's final 2019 sailing is this Sunday, November the 3rd, and she'll return to the Isle of Man at the end of March next year.
With more than 900,000 special offer seats available during 2020, visit steam-packet.com. Manx Radio's business briefing, powered by Y Manx.
Bombardier sold its Belfast aerospace division to the American firm Spirit AeroSystems in a deal worth more than $1 billion. The factories, which make wings for the Airbus A220, were put up for sale by their Canadian owner, Bombardier, in May. More than 3,500 people work for the business in Northern Ireland. Hong Kong's economy has plunged into a recession for the first time in a decade. Hong Kong government says recent protests have hit tourism and consumer sentiment. Official GDP figures estimate the territory's output shrank by 3.2% in the 3 months to the end of September. Two successive quarters of contraction puts it in a technical recession. And in the auto world, Fiat, Chrysler and Peugeot are going to merge, creating the world's fourth largest car maker. The combined entity will be valued at about $50 billion and be able to share the cost of developing electric cars. It also means Fiat can gain electric vehicle technology, while Peugeot benefits from a dealership network to boost sales in America. Talking of the auto industry, Volkswagen is facing trial in Germany against hundreds of thousands of consumers demanding compensation following the Dieselgate scandal. More than 400,000 owners of VW diesel cars have joined a class action against the manufacturer, which opened in Brunswick earlier on this week. They're represented by the consumer group VZBV, which accuses Volkswagen of deliberately putting its customers at risk by installing software to cheat emission tests. The trial will last until 2023.
The Stock Market Report. brought to you by Ramsay Crookall.
Here's what's happening now across the world and across Ramsay Crookall. UK and European stocks traded lower after a report that Chinese officials are doubting the possibility of a long-term trade agreement with America. The euro gained as the dollar weakened after the Federal Reserve on Wednesday cut interest rates for the third time this year and left open to question whether it would cut them further. Oil prices fell as investors digested much larger than expected rise in American inventories and trade war jitters. Gold prices climbed as the American dollar weakened after the Fed cut interest rates for the third time, but signaled the monetary easing cycle would be paused. In corporate news, Royal Dutch Shell was the worst performer on the Top Light Index after it reported a 15% decline in third quarter earnings due to its lower energy prices. And Smith & Nephew retreated despite upgrading its annual revenue growth guidance and posting a rise in third quarter revenue. At the close, the FTSE 100 was down 1.1% at 7,248. The DAX in Germany up 0.33% at 12,866. Just before 5 o'clock, the Dow was down almost 1% at 26,950. The NASDAQ tech stocks in New York was down 0.5% at 8,261. And the S&P 500 in Chicago up 0.6% at 3,027. In the exchange world, the pound is worth $1.294 and 1 euro 16 cents. Gold is trading up 1% at $1,511 an ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude will set you back up 0.75% at $60.14.
When it comes to investing for the future and that all-important personal service, look no further than the award-winning team at Ramsay Crookall. Ramsay Crookall is the island's largest firm of stockbrokers and investment managers and have been servicing the investment community with a broad range of services for over 70 years. For that all-important personal touch and financial expertise, contact Ramsay Crookall. Telephone 673-171. Call into Securities House, Athol Street, or visit our website, ramsaycrookall.com. Ramsay Crookall are members of the London Stock Exchange and licensed by the Financial Services Authority.
Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
Well, this is a story in itself. It's not really travel news, but Broadway's junction with Harris Promenade will reopen to traffic this coming Sunday, the 3rd of November. Works undertaken as part of the Douglas Promenade refurbishment scheme have been finished. New services and a puffin pedestrian crossing are now in place. When the junction reopens, drivers will be able to, you'll find that the traffic lights have been replaced by a stop line and a sign. You'll be able to make either a right or left turn. Vehicles travelling south along the prom will be able to turn right up Broadway again. More work will take place later in the project to create a roundabout. At the same time, changes are being made to the junction of Church Road Marina at Greensill's Corner as work progresses on the installation of a new water main. Vehicles heading south along the prom will no longer be able to turn right at Greensill's Corner. The works will continue for 3 weeks. If you wish to access Church Road Marina or Market Street from the prom, approach the junction by travelling north along Lock Promenade. The northbound taxi rank, disabled parking spaces and bus stop in front of the Sefton Hotel won't be affected. For more information and hours of fun, go to myprom.gov.im. The Scout Association of the Isle of Man has launched the UK's first UNESCO Biosphere badge. It was introduced earlier this week to help sustainability on the Isle of Man. Beavers, cubs, scouts and explorers can now take part in tasks relating to the UN's global goals. The Island Scout Commissioners Beverly Hewson and Jill Costain-Solway spoke to Tia Welsh about what the badge actually is.
We decided to challenge the sections of the Scouts in different ways. So the beavers and the cubs have to choose two of the 17 goals to explore, and the Scouts and explorers do three goals, and they have to complete one activity of each of these in order to earn the badge. So there's no poverty, good health and well-being, life on land and so forth. We've designed it so that the leaders can choose something that is, you know, appropriate to their particular section's age group. An activity you'd do with the beavers probably wouldn't be the same that you'd do with the explorers.
How do they transfer that into the island community?
we came up with various suggestions as to possible projects. Obviously, the sections can choose their own activity, which they think is relevant, but we gave them some sort of ideas for each of the different goals. For example, the no poverty, one of the suggestions we had was donate what you don't use. So the different sections could collect together books and toys and games and give them to a local charity shop.
How long does it take to achieve this?
That will depend upon how often they work towards it.
Is it applicable to other groups similar to Scouts, like Brownies and Girl Guiding?
Well, the particular badge that we've got is obviously just for Scouts. I think you've got a badge in front of you. There is actually the Scout emblem on that. I believe that the guides have got a similar sort of badge, which presumably is a similar design with the guide logo on it.
Do you give any examples of what skills they build from the badge?
I think one of the main ones is teamwork, because for most of the activities they're going to be working within their group. It could also be a sort of leadership developing skill for some of the older ones.
What makes this badge so different?
It's made them use their imagination, and they know a lot more about recycling and caring and looking after the environment than I thought they would even begin to understand.
Manx Radio Sport.
The latest with Chris Cave.
Master Mike, good evening. Despite scoring 7 on 2 par 5s, Isle of Man golf professional Tom Gandy is still in contention at the PGA Euro Pro Tour Championship in Spain. 5 birdies made up for his double bogey woes as the Rowney player carded a 1 under par round of 71 at the Desert Springs course. He's still inside the top 10 in 6th position, 3 shots behind leader James Allen from Chelmsford. The final round at the season-ending tournament is tomorrow. Saracen Sabres will face Castletown Camags in the quarterfinals of the Manx Hockey Mixed Plate. It's after they eased into the last 8 with a comfortable victory over Ramsey Ravens last night. George Powell scored a hat-trick, with Andrew Winstanley, William Brideson and Helena Allen all on the score sheet twice in a dominant 15-0 victory. Amy Sellers, Lucy Farragut, Sophie Howland, Scott Mason and Tom Dalton-Brown were also on target at the NSC. Further afield, the EFL is in talks with Liverpool about arranging a suitable time to play their League Cup quarter-final with Aston Villa. Manager Jurgen Klopp has said they may pull out of the competition if they can't find a date that would stop it clashing with their Club World Cup commitments. Former Liverpool defender Jamie Carragher told Sky Sports News it's a situation that could work in the club's favour.
The reason there's so many games is because obviously the team's doing well, but that just enables these young players to get a chance, because it's difficult going into a Premier League game or a Champions League game for young players. So it's brilliant that Liverpool have a manager who'll give young lads a chance in, you know, the Carabao Cup and maybe in the FA Cup also.
Derby County boss Philip Cocu has called on his players to stay focused on matters on the pitch. Club captain Richard Keogh had his contract terminated for gross misconduct last night and is expected to appeal. He was ruled out for the rest of the season with a knee injury after being involved in a car crash following a team night out last month. Cocu says it's a complicated situation to talk about.
We cannot go by that easily, because Richard, of course, has been here for a long time. But like I said, because it's a club matter, cannot give any comment.
And England head coach Eddie Jones says he's excited by the prospect of his team playing even better in the Rugby World Cup final. He's named an unchanged starting 15 from the side that beat New Zealand to face South Africa in Yokohama in the final on Saturday. That's your sport this evening.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions.
Everything's fine at the airport. The departure to London City at 5:10 went fine, and the 5:35 to Dublin out spot on time. Everything else is in and outbound okay. No problems reported on the Matrix signs. On the roads, well, I mentioned the Broadway's open from Sunday, so as a build-up to that, you could drive along Alexander Drive in Douglas by the Wessex petrol station. Temporary two-way 24-hour traffic lights in operation. They're resurfacing it there. And Westminster Drive's got a temporary closure in Upper Douglas between Alexander Drive and number 28 Westminster Terrace. Parking is being suspended on Ballabruy Avenue to help with access. In Laxey, of course, temporary closure from Churchill, the Rental Hill Junction, to the junction with Minorca Hill on Glen Road. No through traffic from Churchill Rental Hill to Acacia Villa. Resident-only access from the Minorca Hill end of Glen Road. Of course, Laxey is open for business during the closure. The Curragh Road in St John's, the Foxdale Road from St John's, Closed for roadworks between Ballacrane traffic lights and the Western Amenity site. Access to the amenity site's not a tip, it's an amenity site, is via the Hope. And in Westlands in Peel, closed to vehicular traffic for its entire length between now and, well, probably the 28th of February next year, until they've finished the demolition, refurbishment and extension work, whichever is easier. For all your guidance and information, there's a current comprehensive summary of all travel news and issues on the Isle of Man for trains, planes, boats, buses, roadworks and the prom at manxradio.com.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions,
670-145. In the UK, the Culture Secretary, Nicky Morgan, says abuse has definitely been a factor in her decision to step down as an MP. She says the Commons needs a wholesale culture change to encourage more women into politics.
But it's definitely been a factor. I wouldn't say it's been the tipping point. I think what we've seen over the last couple of years is, I mean, look, I've had to have a number of people prosecuted for death threats and that sort of thing. Actually, funny enough, an email received recently in my office, which a couple of years ago, I think we would have reported to the police. We all sort of agreed, oh, well, that's not as offensive as we, you know, others we get. And so that's, but it, you know, it has become definitely, and every day, you know, you open the email system up and there's more abusive emails. You know, this is not what it used to be in 2010.
There was a tweet today, actually, from a Labour MP saying she'd seen an MP from another party today who was in floods of tears because she was quitting, because she felt she was too soft to be here. I mean, you're a great campaigner for getting women into politics, and here you are going. I mean, what's going wrong?
Well, I am very conscious, and actually part of the difficulty making the decision was actually what signal does it send out if, you know, some of our female MPs decide, you know, it's not for them. I think there's always going to be a churn in Parliament and people coming and going, and we need that with their different backgrounds and experiences. I think there does need to be, there's going to be a new speaker. I think there needs to be a wholesale culture change in the House of Commons and an understanding that actually we are expected to live in two places. And if you are trying to balance, you know, family life responsibilities, other people do it too. But I think, you know, there's sort of over-expectation of, you know, of the role of MP and the high-profile person that you become that, as I say, makes those balances in life quite difficult to achieve. But, you know, we do need more women, and I hope that this doesn't put people off, but we've got to tackle this culture of abuse in particular.
That's it for Update tonight. Thank you for your attention. We'll be back tomorrow night at the same time on Manx Radio. After the 6 o'clock news, it's time for Tammy Guindis, If You're Feeling Brave. Tammy Guindis, the crew survived the night at Milntown, the most haunted house on the Isle of Man. The podcast will be available after the program at manxradio.com. Thanks to producer Sarah Hendy and newsreader Chris Cave. I'm Andy Wint. Back at the same time tomorrow. Have a wonderful Hoftune.